A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 15th of April, 2021. We will be continuing with the sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teaching from the adapter verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 203. Yeah? As usual. Before we start, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light and you all can start your meditation now. Just relax body and mind, maintain awareness within for as long as you can to stabilize your awareness nature. Remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that arise, relax completely, body and mind, be at ease, then silence everything, don't try to know, don't do anything, just silence, and maintain awareness. You can maintain awareness of your object of meditation, or breathing, in and out breath, anapanasati, or whatever bodily activity, even at your heartbeat or any part of your body that has vibration or any skillful means that can help you anchor your mind. So you just maintain awareness there. Then stabilize the awareness. The easiest way is, of course, to follow the four support. Relax, aware, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Do not interfere with the thought process. Don't try to direct anything. Just silent, maintain awareness. And let the awareness nature develop the understanding. However, sentient beings, because of their deluded thinking, transmigrate through the sixth destiny, unable to escape suffering. Hence, the Buddha expounded the supreme meaning so that no one would have any doubt. The loving kindness and compassion he exercises are clearly not false. All bodhisattva must learn and practice this. By hearing only one teaching, we are able to uphold all Dhamma and can bring great benefits. So, we are able to uphold all Dhamma and can bring great benefits to all sentient beings. Okay, so this one, we will go through the meaning. Yeah? So, like what? Go back to just now that page. Like what the stanza mentioned, however, sentient beings is all living beings, not necessarily any human being, including all the other realms. Because of their deluded thinking, so those who are not enlightened, which is most of the case, they have this heedless or deluded thinking. They will transmigrate through the sixth destiny, means they will take birth, the continuous birth and death. We call it samsara. The sixth destiny refer to the, they call it the sixth path of birth and death. Is actually the same as the Theravada tradition's 31 plane of existence. The only difference is they summarize all of the heavenly realm to include all the Deva realm, Brahma realm, and the formless realm. So the heavenly realm consists of six Deva realm, 16 Brahma rhyme, so 22, plus 4 more, the formless rhyme, Arupa Loka. So total 26, plus the 5 human rhyme and the 4 woeful state, you have total 31. Play now, Houston. So these 6 destiny actually is the same, but Maya and I like to call them the 6 destiny or 6 path of birth and death. So because of deluded thinking, it conditioned rebirth, then living beings are born, or sentient beings are born within this 6 destiny or 31 plane. Then because they are unable to escape suffering due to their ignorance or self-delusion, the Buddha expounded this teaching. Is it this one? Next page. Oh, okay. So this teaching is the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, so that no one would have any doubt. Then the loving kindness and compassion that Lord Buddha exercises are clearly not false. Therefore, all bodhisattvas must learn and cultivate this one teaching. By hearing only one teaching, we are able to uphold all dharmas and can bring great, which can bring great benefits to all sentient beings. So this is the meaning of this stanza. Then we will go into the commentaries. Due to their deluded thinking, sentient beings often form attachment, which is very true. Attachment, craving, desire, grasping, clinging, the wrong view with regards to the form and mind, thinking that it's real, thinking that it's what you are, thereby developing the self-delusion. So this is what deluded thinking sentient beings do. When they are deluded, they will have this self-delusion that condition them to grasp and cling. That's why all this become your attachment. When you hold on to them, grasp on to them, cling on to them, it become your attachment. This give rise to desire and affliction. From attachment comes craving, desire, and affliction. There is a saying, we humans are insatiable, which is very true. Cannot be satisfied. Human desire are really insatiable. Like a snake that wants to swallow an elephant. This is a Mandarin saying. Se tun xiang. It's impossible for the snake to swallow an elephant. But if you have that type of foolish thought, means you're really foolish. Although our stomach is not big enough, we still want to swallow so much. This has been deluded, not been realistic. Our mind should encompass the universe, and we should see everyone in the whole universe as part of our family. Instead of being deluded and confused, thinking of ourselves as the greatest in the world, and seeing everything as belonging to us. When we perversely form attachment, everywhere go. When we perversely form attachments everywhere. Doesn't look like the English. Yeah, should be the word we, everywhere we go. When we perversely form attachment everywhere we go, we do not act in accordance with the principle, and our mind are filled with greed, hatred, and delusion, means the 3 evil roots. Then we are like a demon among humans. Hence, the Buddha expounded the supreme meaning so that no one will have any doubt. The Buddha wants to guide everyone to walk on the right path. So he continually returned to the ship of compassion to manifest in the world. That's how he come, following the Bodhisattva way. He is constantly using either skillful means or the true Dhamma to teach sentient beings. Within the provisional, the truth is hidden. And the truth contains the provisional. But where the provisional or truth, all teachings ultimately point straight to the one Dhamma, the true Dhamma, or the infinite meaning. The teachings of infinite meaning are the supreme meaning, the one and the only true teaching or Dhamma, which can adapt to all appearances of all phenomena and through different methods and appearances adapt to sentient beings, different sentient beings, different capabilities. Even metals and appearances contain true principles. This is how skillful and provisional teachings are used. If one is able to abide in the true Dhamma while exercising the provisional, then the provisional teachings are not false. Thus, the Buddha's skill or skillful means never deviate from the ultimate truth. His purpose in expounding the true Dhamma was to develop sentient beings' wisdom. So this is most important, to impart the wisdom so that all sentient beings can have faith and clear their doubt or expel their doubts. So in this sutta, the Buddha said to great magnificent Bodhisattva and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas present, if you have doubt, quickly ask about them. There is not much time left. Oh, this statement reminds me of the message I received from Kuan Yin in the year 1986. Not much time left. And I hope that no one will be left harboring doubt regarding the Dhamma. Sentient beings have 84,000 kinds of affliction. So the Buddha must teach according to their individual capabilities. This is how doctors must study all kinds of illnesses and then prescribe medicine according to the disease. Nowadays, we often hear about the discovery of rare disease. To find a cure, the medical community continually study the biology and physiology of the human body and constantly develop the science of treating illness or illnesses. Isn't it the same for the study of Buddha's teaching and the Dhamma? As students of the Buddha, we should not simply stop at learning the views and perspectives of more than 2,500 years ago. This is very true. Our understanding of the Dhamma should also progress in accordance with the way people live in our present time and space. So the Dhamma is evergreen in the sense that it is applicable to all situations, all circumstances, and also all era. Whatever era you are in, means irrespective of how the civilization evolved, whether it's advanced, backward, or whatever, this Dhamma is applicable. So this part, the analogy is quite good. So understanding of the Dhamma should also progress in accordance with the way people live in our present time and space. Means we must make use of the Buddha Dhamma to suit the present civilization's need. Our time and the time of Sakyamuni Buddha, 2600 years ago, is very different. Civilization has progressed. Science and technology has progressed. Our lifestyle has changed. Our civilization has changed tremendously. We have become more and more knowledgeable, more and more sophisticated. Then we use a lot of technical knowledge and know-how. We use the thinking process a lot. That is where the downfall is. In the early day, in the past, most people are more spiritual, philosophical. They are not so technical. They don't use their mundane mind or the thinking process or the thought so rampant. There's a reason why nowadays, the modern day living being find it very difficult to cultivate spiritual understanding and teaching. Your spiritual understanding demand developing the understanding of the true mind. It has nothing to do with the mundane mind actually. The mundane mind actually cannot see, cannot awaken, cannot understand. So having that ability to understand that makes the difference. That's why most modern day people, when it comes to meditation or seeking the spiritual path, spiritual understanding, they find it very difficult and very confusing. Yeah, it's so difficult to do because they are suddenly told not to use thought. Whereas in their daily life, their whole education system, their whole conditioning are all based on the thought process. And they develop a lot of thinking, a lot of knowledge, thought-based knowledge leading to technical advancement and all those things. Whereas the spiritual understanding is to silence everything and go back to our nature, to realize what that nature is, that how from that nature all things arise. Then through that understanding, use that true mind or the silent mind to insight the phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom so as not to be deluded. So all this is the spiritual training, meditative process, which is very, very different from the usual humanity's way of doing things. Okay, we read on. The Buddha taught and transformed sentient beings according to their capabilities. In order for everyone to give rise to compassion and walk the Bodhisattva path. So this one is very useful. The Buddha taught and transformed sentient beings. How does the Buddha do it? Based on the individual's capability. So based on the individual's capability, the Buddha actually has the ability to teach them to walk the path of the Bodhisattvas. But before he teach them to do that, he need them to arise the great compassion. Means to take the Bodhisattva way, you need to arise the great compassion. Compassion for the living beings, the limitless living being. That's why you vow to come. The four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Therefore, loving kindness and compassion he exercises are clearly not false. All Bodhisattva must learn and practice this. We need to learn and practice diligently to both seek the teaching and to transform sentient beings. We need to seize every moment to dedicate ourselves and not let our compassion be merely an idle thought, or let it go to waste. In this way, by hearing only one teaching, we are able to uphold all dharmas and can bring great benefits to all sentient beings. So this is the same message. Suci volunteers often take on the responsibility of helping families in need. Through visiting and helping this family, we can further understand that life is filled with suffering. So this is very true. You become a volunteer with the Suci organization, you are bound to have a lot of opportunity or condition to meet up with suffering and affliction. You will see them, witness them. You will have a lot of opportunity to actually experience them and also observe them. So when we start to understand that life is filled with suffering because of what you go through and came to witness, so after we see all this suffering, we ask ourselves, what in my life warrants my having so many afflictions? Have you ever made that inquiry? Why are you having so much affliction, so much misery, frustration, and unhappiness? Is it really for something that you believe to be true? All these are from our sankhara activity, born of delusion. Without delusion, our sankhara is beautiful. The user of thought, which is the sankhara process, is most important. If the user has wisdom, thought can become right thought. Thought can become beautiful, wholesome, meaningful, and helpful. But without wisdom, all this thought can become a problem. It will condition wrong thought. And wrong thought are the source of suffering. Your fear, your misery, your sorrow, your lamentation, your whatever negativity or mind state came from wrong thought. The wrong thought are the thought born of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. People who are heedless have wrong thought. People who are deluded, full of ignorance, has a lot of wrong thought. So these are the reason why non-cultivated or unenlightened sentient beings has a lot of heedless thinking, has a lot of deluded thought process. And that's the reason why they get themselves entangled with so much affliction and misery. So the lesson of recognizing blessing through witnessing suffering cannot be understood clearly by just seeing it once. You have to witness a lot of them until finally you awaken. Actually, relatively, you are very blessed. You are compared to all those who really suffer and become afflicted and miserable. Because as Suci volunteer helper, you have to go to all these places where there is a lot of suffering and misery. These are people with calamities, subject to a lot of nature's disaster, nature's calamity. And they are people that are affected. So when you visit this community or this group of people, you will have a lot of condition and opportunity to witness their misery, their suffering, the first noble truth reality that hit them. And many of them are really, really miserable. Then relatively, when you reflect back on your life, you feel that you are so blessed. That's why having this ability to reflect is very important. So the lesson of recognizing blessing through witnessing suffering cannot be understood clearly by just seeing it once. We must continuously go into the community and deepen our interaction with society. Whether we interact with aid recipients or any other people in society, everyone has unique afflictions and suffering that help us learn different lessons. So if you are observant, if you are mindful, all this becomes possible. We also need to constantly review that we have already learned. Sorry, what we have already learned. I read again. We also need to constantly review what we have already learned while continuing to study further. This is the same as the process of becoming a Tzu-chi commissioner. Yes, you slowly, slowly rise from rank and file, starting as a volunteer, and you progress. So to become certified, volunteer need to first get to know Tzu-chi, then go through 2 years of training. This is the process. But just before, because they have been certified, does not mean their study are finished. It is after certification that they begin to really go to places that are filled with suffering to truly learn about the experience suffered, the experience suffering in the world. Sorry, I'll read again. I didn't get the sentence right. It is after certification that they begin to really go to places that are filled with suffering to truly learn about and experience suffering in the world. Yeah, this should be the way the sentence is phrased. Tzu-chi volunteers encounter so much suffering in their disaster relief work. In August 2007, the Philippines was hit consecutively by the typhoon Tubok and Utip. Pabok and Utip. About a two-hour drive from Manila, there is a village known as Dreamland Village. It is a poor fishing village located by the sea. The local residents were already impoverished and living in filthy condition. Following the two typhoons, they descend even further into the tragic situation that is hard for us to even imagine. After the typhoon, Tzu-chi volunteers immediately went to the village to provide assistance. They offered regular free medical clinics and care for the villages. So this is really important, because I don't know why they go and name the village Dreamland Village. Maybe they are so poor, that's why they have to come up with a name that all the people there are dreaming to have better life. So it is a poor fishing village located by the sea. The local residents were already impoverished and living in filthy conditions. So their situation already bad enough. Means it could be due to karma, due to their condition there, because that fishing village is very poor. Hardly anybody has money. That is located by the sea. Then when the typhoon came, they were hit twice, not once. The local residents, who is already impoverished and living in filthy condition, following the two typhoons, they descend even further into tragic situation that is hard for us to even imagine. So life has become so bad. But luckily, after the typhoon, Tzu-chi volunteer immediately went to the village to provide assistance. They offer regular free medical clinics and care for the villages. Means there must be a lot of sick people and people who suffered injury and all those things. In the village, there was a family of six whose livelihood depends solely on the father, Nelson. He worked as a fisherman. In January 2008, Nelson came home from the sea and noticed a swelling on one of the toes of his right foot. He did not think much about it, but after a few days, the toe became a blister and swelled up. He went to seek medical treatment in Manila and followed the doctor's instruction to disinfect the toe with a mixture of bleach and medicine. However, this caused his foot to rot, and his condition deteriorated to the point where the sole of his leg fell off. Wow, that was bad, huh? Without his even noticing it. He went back to see the doctor, but the doctor just instructed him to keep cleaning his wound. With no money, he was not able to seek further medical advice or treatment. And having no other choice, his foot continued to rot. His whole family was forced to endure the foul stench that filled their homes, their house. When volunteers from Tsuchi International Medical Association, TIMA, went to Dreamland Village to offer or provide free medical care, they heard about Nelson's situation. One of the doctors, Dr. Wang, immediately went to the family's home, to see him. When Dr. Wang unwrapped the bandage, a swarm of flies flew out. The stench was so pungent that people nearby had to cover their nose and mouth. However, Dr. Wang was not deterred. She immediately performed an initial cleaning of this very severe wound, or serious wound. The next day, she sent Nelson to Manila's Chinese General Hospital to see Dr. Lee, an orthopedic surgeon. As soon as Dr. Lee saw Nelson's foot, he said, "This must be amputated right away." He immediately arranged for Nelson to check into the hospital and carefully attend to his treatment, successfully completed the amputation surgery. The doctor said that Nelson's infection was primarily caused by the long-term use of tobacco and alcohol, in addition to improper application of medicine, resulting in peripheral necrosis. This was the reason that Nelson had not been able to feel anything. Even when the flesh of the sole of his feet fell off. Though the medical cost was considerable, after many days of treatment, Nelson left the hospital free from the suffering of his condition. Nelson said, "I owe my life to Tsuchi. I promise I will cherish my body from now on and use my life to give back to society." Not long after, when Tsuchi volunteers went back to hold aid distribution, Nelson shared his personal experience and encouraged everyone to cherish their life and give back to others. His wife also joyfully said, "The doctor is like our second God. He saved my husband, so I am very thankful to Tsuchi." So as living bodhisattvas, Tsuchi volunteer must not only help sentient beings free themselves from hardship, but also save their mind from suffering. So in the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, the Buddha taught us that Dhamma of the world is inherently simple. A single good thought or a single evil thought can transform the world into a pure land or cast us into the three evil destiny. Very true. Eh? If the virtuous Dhamma can be spread across the world, everyone can learn to return to their intrinsic Tathagata nature, is our Buddha nature. Then the world will become a pure land, bringing great benefits to all sentient beings. When we give rise to faith, faith is very important, our course will be straight. Yeah, this is very true. And our mind steadfast and firm. Yeah, this is also very true. When we give rise to wisdom, we will observe our mind. So this one also very true, huh? And cultivate what we learn, thus giving rise to diligence. So this is very beautiful. I go back first and explain a bit. So listen again. When you give rise to faith, faith in what? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Through knowing how special the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. He is the most virtuous and the wisest. You can say at the time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. So to have such a great being to be our teacher and our guide, we will have a lot of gratitude. And we will have great respect for the Buddha. That's why our faith will become very strong, unshakable. Then when you also have faith in his teaching, because you come to know that his teaching is so unique, his teaching can liberate living beings' mind, can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that suffering may not be. This understanding is very important. Yeah? So now we will go to the teaching again. So when we give rise to faith, means the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, our course will be straight. This is very true because you already know he is so wise, he is so virtuous, and he is not only enlightened but fully enlightened. That's why his teaching can liberate living beings. So you will have faith in such a great teacher. And that faith will make you determined to walk this way. That's why your course will be straight and your mind firm and steadfast. Then the second part is, after the faith, we develop wisdom. When we give rise to wisdom, we will continue to observe our mind and cultivate what we learn. You will continue to investigate and awaken, thus giving rise to diligent virya. Very true. Okay, now we are going to the commentaries. The suttas teach that faith is the source of the way and the mother of merits and virtue. This is really true, bear this in mind. It nurtures all roots of goodness. That's why you must develop sadha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, or even in your teachers and others whom you already know they have the Dhamma. We must hold fast to our faith, improper belief, and avoid superstition. What we believe in is very important. If it puts us on the correct path, naturally our mind will not be disrupted by confusion and we can be steadfast and firm. Otherwise, the slightest deviation will lead us astray, far off the right course. So this is equally true. So faith is very important. Sadha is one of the most important spiritual faculty, the first in fact. So we have the five spiritual faculty. The Buddha explained to us, you need them to overcome the five mental hindrance. So they are sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Means faith in the Buddha or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after that, you will have what they call virya. Virya is spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate the teaching. Then you will develop the third one. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. Then when you stabilize sati or mindfulness and awareness, it will become samadhi. When you have sati and samadhi, it will give rise to the unwavering mind, collected and unwavering mind. So samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, without any mental stirring or reaction. Means the thought doesn't come in and interfere, your views, your opinion all doesn't come in and interfere. You just observe, silent. Then if you have the wisdom, yonisomanasikara, that wisdom will come out and prompt you, that's it. That's why no thought is involved. It's just the understanding. So this way of cultivation is very beautiful. Yeah? Then it will give rise to wisdom, panya, the last spiritual faculty. So when you can see things as they are, when you can insight into phenomena and awaken to the universal characteristic, you develop wisdom, understanding. Then it root out your wrong view, straighten, help you to straighten your view and give rise to understanding. Then you will not debate. If we can maintain our faith in proper belief and steadfastly carry out our mission, naturally we give rise to wisdom. Very true. So you can maintain your faith and the proper belief and steadfastly carry out your mission. Means sincerely do it. Naturally you will develop wisdom. Then we can observe our mind and practice or cultivate what we learn, thus giving rise to diligence. So spiritual practice requires constant self-reflection or contemplation. Most people only observe what is around them. But if we can develop wisdom, it will enable us to reflect on our own nature, means on our own mind, means look within. You don't look outside. When our mind is pure, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, our ears can hear the sound of all things, all living beings, and all human interaction in the world. This refers to the oneness nature. When your mind is pure, without delusion or ignorance or distortion, it becomes the true mind, the pure mind, which is the oneness nature. I often say that when our mind is tranquil, it can be close to the land and hear its breathing. This is very true. Like you can feel the breath of life, of everything, because of your ability to be with the oneness nature. They like resonate with you, your nature. Then everything is like in the oneness, complete. So this part is very beautiful. When our mind is tranquil, we can be close to the land and hear its breathing. Other than hearing the movement of the grass and trees and the humming of insects and singing of birds, we can also feel the silence of the empty space around us. Yeah, that stillness, that silence. That's our true nature. This is just like one of Confucius' students, Kong Yi Zhang, who could understand the language of birds. When our mind is tranquil, the world around us is also tranquil. Then every sound we hear is teaching us the Dhamma. The Amitabha Sutta also describes how in the Western paradise or Western Pure Land, all things including the birds, trees and so on are teaching the Dhamma. Once we have developed a tranquil mind that listens to all Dhamma, perceive the Buddha's heart in our own nature and keep the course of our thoughts and actions steady, we should quickly go into the world to apply the wisdom of our intrinsic nature. Yeah, this is what you have to do as a bodhisattva. Then as we put our wisdom into action, we will naturally become diligent. If after listening to the Dhamma, we cannot put it into practice, If we never make any progress in our spiritual cultivation, that is as if we did not hear the Dhamma at all. True or not? Yeah? Very true, isn't it? Even if the karmic conditions are there for us to encounter the Dhamma, if we do not make use of the teachings, once we have heard them, we are wasting time while our body continues to age and deteriorate. And this is very true. Huh? This is a life of indolence. Huh? Indolence means laziness. At Suji, there is a devout and diligent recycling volunteer who pays respect to the Buddha and recites the suttas every day, chanting every verse very clearly. Not only does she devoutly prostrate to the Buddha, she also diligently puts the Buddha Dhamma into practice by doing recycling work. She is truly uniting her faith and practice in her daily life. And this is beautiful. She once shared with everyone, "I'm very troubled." A listener asked her, "You are so reverent in paying respect to the Buddha and chanting the sutta, and you are also earnestly doing recycling work. What could possibly trouble you?" She said, "I often listen to Master teach the Dhamma, so I know that by losing my temper, I am creating affliction for myself. But I cannot control myself. Whenever I lose my temper, I hurt people with my words." When she lost her temper, as soon as the harsh word came out of her mouth, she knew she had hurt someone. Then she would immediately reflect on what she has just done. She knew that it is difficult to correct bad habits. That's a habitual tendency, yeah? Not easy to root out. But she still felt troubled by this. So she would prostrate and repent in front of the Buddha. Actually, repentance is very important. But repentance has to be done with understanding and sincerity. You don't just go and like a parrot, huh? Parroting, huh? I vow to repent, but there is no sincerity and you're not serious. So all of your action and doing will not change you. That's the reason why this volunteer has this type of problem. Despite doing all the reverential salutation diligently, then chanting the sutta diligently, but what she lacks is the sincerity, the faith, and the understanding to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. When you cultivate and develop the understanding, then this habitual tendency is not a problem. If you know that anger is an evil root, getting angry is not something very wholesome. It brings about karmic negativity, downfall, then karmic repercussion, because when you hurt people, harm people, your karmic friction is you become the victim. People will harm you, hurt you, and do all those things back to you. So when you understand this, the habitual tendency will cease. Why must I get angry? Then you develop the wisdom to be at peace with all things. Then you start to realize the teaching, which is so beautiful. Because the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. What is the meaning? The meaning is very deep. What he means is, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Because like he always mentioned, condition like that, things be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So whatever that happen or arise, you have to accept the situation or accept them for what they are, so that you don't have to be deludedly deceived by what happened and stir your mind and emotion and get angry and become abusive, starts to say all those negative things. All this can only be done if there is wisdom, like the way I share with you. If you understand the Buddha's word, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Means they are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Foolish people do foolish things. You still accept them for what they are. It doesn't mean you agree with what they do. No. Acceptance is not agreeing with what they do. You accept them for what they are because due to their delusion, they reacted this way, they behaved this way, or due to their anger, emotion, just like when you, without wisdom, develop the anger, the hatred, then these are evil roots, make them evil. So they are just the way they are. When they are foolish, without the Dhamma understanding, they also do foolish things. They say very, very negative things or unreasonable things. So when you have this understanding, you become different. You don't have to suppress your anger. You don't have to like don't want to get angry. No need. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. So we have to develop this ability to understand the reality of the moment, to accept everything the way they are. Acceptance is freedom. Acceptance is wisdom. When you accept, means you accord and flow with the reality. Able to have this understanding is very important. Otherwise, you will react and stir your mind and develop the evil roots, become negative, become evil. Then all the wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech will flow from there. That is not Buddha Dharma. That is not the cultivation. The cultivation is to have the wisdom to see things clearly, to understand the reality within the moment. Then have the wisdom to accept the reality. It doesn't mean you have to agree. You accept first, be at peace. Then do what you have to do to resolve the issue or problem amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. That is the answer. That is the solution. That is what we should do. Not to go and follow our emotion, follow our wrong view, our deluded view, our rigid view or belief system. Then we try to argue. We try to be right. We try to develop more and more conflict, misunderstanding, leading to affliction, sometimes even war. So all these are beautiful Dhamma that can be understood, can be developed. So this is the part that I want to share first. Then we see what the author say. We continue with that sharing. With habitual tendency, you cannot root out without wisdom. The wisdom way that I taught you all, based on the Buddha's teaching, is very beautiful. Accept the reality of the moment, because according to the Buddha, you have to learn to see things as they are, not according to your views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system. Then it becomes duality. You end up in argument. Then, like the Buddha say, when the causes and condition is set, things is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So it will happen in this way, which is nature's way. You want things your way, which is against nature's way, then you suffer. Because when you cannot get what you want, what is the result? Suffering will be the result. Affliction will be the result. So acceptance via understanding is freedom, is wisdom. So this understanding is very important. So now we read on. The volunteer is already devoting herself to spiritual practice. She always listens to the Dhamma and believes that there is a pure Tathagata nature in everyone. She also knows that past karmic causes result in present-day retribution. which is why she is still tormented by various afflictive emotions in this lifetime. Despite all this knowledge, see, the word is knowledge, this is not wisdom. See, she has yet to tame her affliction. So we can see how difficult is it to change our negative habitual tendency. That's why even the author, Zheng Yan Fasi, she also know habitual tendency is not easy to root out. So without the wisdom and the understanding that I share with you, it's really, really not easy. So now you see the beauty in our sharing, in our development of the Buddha Dhamma's understanding. And all those things that I shared with you just now, most of the things are not in the sutra teaching, because the sutra teaching only has the essential Dhamma, the words. But how to apply them, how to transform them into a living reality so that you can apply them in the midst of life, in the midst of your daily activity and daily living. That aspect of the teaching is missing, because Dhamma is applicable to all conditions and all situations. And the application of Dhamma is one thing that is lacking. I realize a lot of the teaching are very scholarly, very like Dhamma knowledge. People can recite, rattle the sutta, even chant the sutta clearly and honestly. But how many people have the understanding to put it into practice and cultivate it, so that it can bring forth the transformation? Then all this problem of how come I still have anger, I still have fear, all this delusion will be gone. Yet they didn't realize that anger was never them, fear was never them. It's due to their wrong view, wrong thought that stir and react to sense experience. And through this, that is how the mind functions. The mundane mind that is deluded and heedless get entangled and afflicted. So if you see all this through meditative awareness and silence, then you will awaken. You will straighten your view and not to do all this foolish thing anymore. When you develop the meditative understanding, the third way and the fourth way, then you come to realize anger was never me. Hatred was never me. So all this fear, worry, anxiety was just ordinary condition, dependent originating mind states. They were never intrinsic within you. Before you get angry, there was no anger. Before fear arise, there was no fear. That how did they arise? They come and they go. You didn't die. So how can anger be you? How can fear be you? So when you understand all this, then you can meditate into it and ask yourself, who are you? What are you? Without the thought, who are you? What are you? And thought seizes your true nature, your true mind surface, the awareness nature arises. In fact, that nature is always there. It's only when you arise mundane thinking, the heedless thinking, that it cloud that nature. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent, completely silent in tranquility and stillness, to be aware of the moment in your true mind, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking. And when you understand this principle, you understand meditation. So meditation is to be with the moment, to observe, to understand, to meditate, to see things as they are. So to do that, I have to silence. That's why the silent mind, I have to develop awareness, stability of it. not to go and think, not to go and use the thought to meditate. How can the thought meditate to realize the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind? It's foolish, isn't it? It's impossible. Thought must cease. The silence within must be stabilized. That's why you must realize your true nature, your true mind, your awareness nature within. Stabilize it. Then only you can meditate. Then only you can understand. You can have clarity to observe, to understand who you are, what you are, and how your mundane mind arise and deceive you. How they are dependent originating following the dwelling paticca-samuppanna. So all these are the essential Dhamma that you will see clearly. But the process of cultivating this is not taught. The book and the sutta are very scholarly, very rigid, like dogmatic. They have a lot of Dhamma principle or scholarly type of teaching. They can rattle to you the dwelling, but how many people understand the dwelling? If you don't have the understanding, the dwelling is theoretical, no use. It does not benefit you. It cannot help you to develop understanding and wisdom. And you cannot develop the understanding and wisdom, how can you change? Your habitual tendency will be there because you still cannot understand who are you, what are you, and the way things are. You still have mark of everything, mark of a self cultivating. The egoic mind, very strong. Mark of others. There is duality, there is division, separation. And mark of Dhamma, mark of life, mark of existence. Everything like so real to you. Then how can you liberate your mind? How can you cause your Sankara activity, your mundane thinking to cease? It can't. Not until you understand the universal characteristic, like what the Buddha taught. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang. All of sankhara is impermanent, they come and go, no reality. If you attach and cling and give meaning, it brings about suffering. That's why sabbe sankhara dukkang. Then because it is impermanent, it is also anatta, empty nature, non-self. So all this, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, become very beautiful, very clear. That's how the whole teaching comes about. If you don't have that understanding, you cannot awaken. Your habitual tendency cannot be rooted out. Okay, we go back to the teaching. I think we can just wrap it up and finish. Yeah? There is only a few more sentences to go. Fortunately, her faith is very strong. I read over again. Eh? And she is on the right course. She practices what she has learned and persevere in eliminating her bad habit. Therefore, she continues to progress diligently in her spiritual practice. Although her habitual tendencies are deeply ingrained, she recognizes her mistakes as soon as she makes them. Every time that habitual tendencies surface, she reflects on herself and seeks to rectify her wrongdoing immediately. This shows that she is always vigilant, means heedful. If we have the same courage and diligence, then regardless of how severe our habitual tendencies are, I believe that they can all be slowly adjusted and then eliminated. See, they use this word, adjusted, slowly, then eliminated. Thus, our wisdom will continue to grow. See, the way they cultivate is different. The wisdom way doesn't go this way. The wisdom way, like I explained to you all many times, especially to Song. Initially, when you develop the understanding, you contemplate, you reflect, based on all those things that I share with you, then you develop a deep understanding. Then this one becomes yoniso, manasikara, is with your nature. The problem with cultivator is they want to remember. They thought, they must remember. Yeah, this is Dhamma, they say. They must remember this Dhamma. The real cultivation is not to remember. But Dhamma, no need to remember. Dhamma is an understanding, wisdom, awakening. If you have, means you have. You don't have, means you don't have. You cannot try to remember things and believe that that memory, which is your thought, is Dhamma. That is delusion. So when you understand that, you do not analyze and reason anymore. All our analysis and reasoning is from the Sankara, the thought process, the mundane mind. Who analyzes? The thought analyzes. The mundane mind is basically thought. So when you understand this, your cultivation will evolve and become very different. You don't have to worry about all this arising of thought, because the user of thought is most important. That's why I say you have to realize through the meditative process, the third and fourth way, when anger arises, fear arises, emotion arises, you have to silence your mind through the third way and find out what happened. It will cease. You don't give it any more thought, analysis, or reasoning, or try to justify and become unhappy. Why am I still angry? How come I cannot root out my habitual tendency? I cannot even reduce it. So all this is not cultivation. This is analysis, reasoning. The understanding is, if I meditate and realize it ceases, then that understanding is very important. That understanding is, anger was never me. Where is dependent originating? Where when it arises through my wrong view, my mental reaction and stirring, then it come to be. Dependent on that wrong view, it conditioned emotion, anger, or fear. And when that wrong view ceases, when I silence my mind and meditate and be with it, what happens? The very flowering of that Sankara emotion is the very ending of that emotion. So anger will cease, fear will cease. Then you realize there is deep peace, there is tranquility, there is stillness, there is your true mind. You let the mind return to its original state. No need to do anything. Then you realize, hey, anger was not me. Fear was not me. So if anger and fear is not me, that's how you reflect and contemplate using Cittanupassana. Then you come to the great awakening and understanding. If they are not me, why should I worry about them? Where they are dependent originating. So through habitual tendency, they will arise. But the moment they arise, this understanding, which is yoniso manasikara, will surface. Anger was never me. So I don't have to do anything to root out anger. I just develop the understanding. Then I tell myself, how come every time I see something, I hear something, I smell something, or think of something, my mind stir, I become emotional. So what went wrong? That is the fourth way. Means you have to investigate. Means you have to silence your mind to observe and trace the origination factor of anger and fear. How did you get angry? How did fear arise? So you realize it's through your senses, through your wrong view, your wrong thought. So what you need to do is to retrospectively reverse this. Through what? Through right view, right understanding. That's how you reverse it out. That's how you root it out and eliminate it. And to trace the origination factor is very easy. Well, when you are mindful, you can trace it through your senses. Either when you see something, hear something, smell something, tactile feel or think or something, then you, through your own wrong views and opinion and conditioning and belief system, you react to it, you stir. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. So when that happens, that is delusion. So you tell yourself, how can I not stir, not react the next time when I see this thing or hear this thing or similar thing? go back to the teaching. What did the Buddha say? Learn to see things as they are. As they are means what? They are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Foolish people do foolish things. Angry people do angry things. And the world is the world. Because everything is condition arising, dependent originating. Whatever that arises, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. When the causes and conditions is established, things is going to be that way. Cannot be otherwise. Nature's way, not your way. When you want things the way you saw. So when you understand all this, you have to learn to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace. That's why whatever happened, at peace, accept. Doesn't mean you agree with what happened. Then act to overcome. That is the Dhamma. Act with what? Act with Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma way, the wisdom way. That is how life is to be lived. And this is not taught in the teaching. This is the missing part. That's why living being fine is so difficult to overcome habitual tendency, even the Tsuji people. So every time they reflect, do the chanting, repentance, they have to do it over a long period of time, invoking power, merits, vows, everything. And that way is slow. That way take a long time. I realized through my nature's past, this is the fastest way to root things out. That's why this is the teaching that Maitreya wanted me, my nature, to share in the year 2008. Qing Li Pa Zheng Hua Chuan Xia Qi. So this is the part that you have to bear in mind. Yeah? Okay, with this, I think we end, because the note is another section already. Yeah? I try to trace the page. Yeah? Okay, after that, we can open up for second session, which is meditation reporting.
Brother, maybe continue to 那一天的那个 video 的 share sharing.
对，那个很重要。
Okay. Actually, 我昨天早上我在吃 breakfast 的时候, 我就在 recall 回这个 video 所讲的东西, especially 他讲的那五个心, 就是那个 出离心,
智慧。如果你真正的 do it correctly, that five things will manifest, which is very true. The first is you are able to have this mind of renunciation. You can renounce a lot of things already. Means you understand that they are not real, not what you think. They are subject to the universal law of impermanence. You attach, cling, and grasp and give meaning. Suffering is the result. And because it's impermanent, it brings about suffering. That's why it is non-self, empty, anatta. So all this you understand. Then that mind of renunciation will be there. That's why you know how to develop the cultivation. You will know how to do the repentance. And break your coming obstruction. Then cultivate accordingly. And when you have succeeded in breaking your coming obstruction or overcoming your coming obstruction, you will progress. Then when you progress, you will develop the wisdom, the understanding. Then it will transform you. That's why your mind becomes different. That's how the five results will appear. First is the mind that has the ability to renounce a lot of things. It will no longer cling on to things, hold on to things, and grasp on to things. It cannot really. Well, all this is clearly understood. So it is a very good test. So when you don't hold, don't cling, don't grab, means you don't create sankhara activity for nothing. It's not necessary. Because most of the thing is like you understand. Thing is just the way it is. Nature's way. Condition like that, things will be like that. So everything is just the way it is. So when you have that, your mind is very quiet, very peaceful, very tranquil. That it doesn't develop duality, misunderstanding, unless it's to share, to teach somebody. Otherwise, most of the time, it can just accept the reality of the moment. Okay, so this part bear in mind, yeah? Then you continue, huh? So,
那是我在吃早餐的时候，我在 recall 这些他所 mention 的这个五个 point， 来 suddenly 我里面很像整个一个这样子一个 understand 就讲，其实就是修我们的心啊 ，then 它就很像一个 manifest 这样子意思就然后讲要 understand 那两个心哦 ，then 就是 brother 你的那种 teaching 那种 essential dharma 它就很像整个意思这样子的 manifest 意思 arise
because you can recollect them then they like form a complete picture because these are the teaching that you need that's why I say what the world is missing is the Buddhist community the teaching which is the actual training to root out all this habitual tendency is no more there. To have the real wisdom to transform the individual sentient being is no more there. Because it becomes very theoretical. Understand? No? Then you realize what I share and teach you all is not in the book. To realize the two mind also, Mahayana teaching, every time mentioned two mind, Tathagata nature and all, but they never really pinpoint that these two are different minds. And one is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought process, the sankhara, content of consciousness, the emotion. All these, they are not clear. That's why they cannot put it into words. They cannot explain. They cannot share. They use the standard Dhamma words, the sutta word and all those things. So when you listen, you think, wow, full of Dhamma. But the essence is like what you realize, just those few things, like just now what I explained, sitting as they are, all those things. And that one is all not in the book, not in the teaching. That's why people cannot awaken if they don't have this. Then they don't know that the wisdom is yonisomanasikara, is a wisdom born of the nature's awakening, understanding. It's not a Dhamma knowledge. It's not something that you must memorize or accumulate and hold on to your thought or memory. Then when you need it, you let it manifest through the memory. No, acting according to memory is not acting at all. But that is all knowledge. That one cannot free because they lack this training part, understanding of the cultivation so that it's applicable to life. Like just now I explained, anger is not you. Fear is not you. How do you realize that? You have to silence your mind, meditate through the third way to see it disappearing, ceasing. Then you realize your true mind. That's why when you let sankhara cease, your true mind returns. Means what? Anger was never there. It was never inherent within your true mind. It is dependent originating. That's why you trace the origination factor, the fourth way. Then retrospectively, through the understanding, root it out. And the understanding comes from inquiry. What did the Buddha taught us? We have to learn to see things as they are. That is the pointer. How to see things as they are? You must have right view, right understanding. Then I realized the world is the world. People are just the way they are. With that, I break free. I no need to every time anger come out like what the book share. Oh, go and repent, chan hui. Go and reflect, go and contemplate. Why should I still have anger? Anger is an evil root. Anger is no good. All this, I mean, if you are sincere, you make that vow, the aspiration over a long time, you can root it out, eliminate it. At first, reduce it. But the real cultivation is different. The wisdom way root it out very fast. It comes through yonisomanasikara. That's why I told you not to analyze, not to like reason. It's because that one is using the thought. So when you understand that, then your cultivation becomes different. Then all these habitual tendency, although they are so old, like the book author said, is so deeply ingrained in the heedless sentient being or deluded sentient being, they can still be rooted out through wisdom. So to root it out, you know when they arise means this is habitual tendency. It's not to say you don't have wisdom. You have, but not stable. That's why it comes. So when it comes, you should develop the right view, yoniso manasikara, to prompt you. Anger was never me. Fear was never me. It's dependent origination. So you straight away, with that understanding, free. Then you don't go and complain, I still have anger. Who say you still have anger? Who say you still have fear? That egoic mind is unravel. That one is dependent originating, a phenomenal, condition arising entity, not you. That one is the human being. What you have is that nature with the embodiment of wisdom that actually connect itself to this form and mind and enable this form and mind to live life free of delusion. That is what you have to understand. Not all the Dhamma and all the sin can follow that. So,
Yeah, but I think it's just it.
That's why she keep on repeating this word, habitual tendency. And then you continue.
But 就刚才你的那个 sharing 很像 so simple 的是那个 paragraph 你是这样子的讲过，但是它的里面的那种 understanding 跟那个 cultivation 一定要去下功夫，要下功夫的。你没有听好好啊，
you have to listen to it repeatedly because. For you all, you don't have your past to help you. You cannot see all this very clearly the first time or second time. You all need time. You all need constant listening to the true Dhamma. Then you have to actually understand what I say. Then apply it. Apply it. Without that, it's not easy. But I realize the only way to free the mind is wisdom. Yoniso manasikara, straightening of view, the understanding. And that one is not easy. That one, the missing teaching is not in any book. Nobody can really teach, actually. So you go and check around. You will come to know that all the teaching you hear is like a lot of Dhamma, a lot of beautiful teaching, but the real cultivation to root all this out, to develop the wisdom, understanding, to transform the sentient being, is all not there. Most of the case is not there at all. Some of the master and teacher, they can do it themselves, but they cannot share this way and teach you this way, because this one needs very stable understanding. Even Jay Krishnamurti, he's so good. He has understanding, but he came from a different tradition. He doesn't want to use all those scriptural words and all this thing. He wants to use modern words. You know? So his way of answering things is very different. But it's from his understanding, he say all those words. That's why his word like very meaningful to those enlightened beings, those who have awakened. Then you see the beauty in how he actually come out with the understanding. Like yesterday, the previous session I discussed with my daughter, he used the word like thought divine. He never used duality and all those things. He said thought divine. Thought is limited. Thought is egoic. So his words are different. But if you understand, it's come from the real understanding of his true mind, his nature. Otherwise, he cannot explain to you like that. He cannot share like that. But what he lacks is the structure, the framework, the Dhamma framework. If he has the Dhamma framework, he will become like the Sammasambuddha. But he don't have the Dhamma framework, it's very difficult for Buddhists to understand him. That's why you may think his teaching is contradictory to the Buddha. He said, wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Oh, the Buddhists are very confused. Noble Eightfold Path, right effort. How come Jai Krishnamurti say the real meditation, no need effort. Wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. But they cannot distinguish between thought base and awareness base. Whereas the Buddha's four right effort is for the thought. That's why the first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, then to prevent the wrong thought from arising. So these are all thought. Then the right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not here. All these are thought. Thought, you use effort. Yes, you have to. You have to have diligence and honesty. But when it comes to meditation, he said awareness. Sati. Apamada. Heedfulness. So all this, the Buddha is very distinct, very clear. When he teach anicchang dukkhang anatta, non-self, then on the other side, when it comes to law of karma, he say, we are all born out of karma. Then he recognizes relationship. Then you thought he contradicts himself. No, well, he knows this is for the form and mind. Form and mind is subject to karma. He is not wrong. But the ultimate dhamma, the ultimate reality or truth is the universal characteristic, impermanent, suffering, non-self or empty nature. So you have to develop the wisdom of the unconditioned and the conditioned world dhamma in order to have the complete understanding to live life. Otherwise you cannot live life. Otherwise they are still one-sided. So this is beautiful, so you slowly now getting into it and you start to catch all the very important final point of cultivation. So today one will also help you to penetrate deeper. Then later on all this habitual tendency analysis and reasoning all gone, will be rooted out. Then you will have the understanding and you will be able to share with other people the same way. But for new people, I realize they are very confused. How can you ask me not to analyze and reason? To them, analysis is very important. To them, it's like investigation. Is it? The Buddha also talked about Dhamma investigation. The investigation is different. The investigation is with the silent mind, with the awareness nature, with that what they call the true nature that is silent, peaceful, quiet and tranquil. Means that mind must be in the state of what they call creativity. Means it's in a quiet environment, quiet setting that is conducive, that it can reflect, it can contemplate, it can inquire. So you throw out the Dhamma and let that nature, the creative nature, understand. Then through its reflection and contemplation and recollection, then the understanding surface, and that one is not thinking. That one is not to the thought process, not reasoning, not analysis. It's inquiry. Why did the Buddha say that? I'm not trying to analyze whether the Buddha is right or wrong. I'm trying to find out the answer and to understand why the Buddha said birth is suffering. So you can see the difference, the big difference. So when you understand that, then you know Dhamma investigation is contemplation and reflection. It's not analysis. Analysis is active thinking. Think a lot. Reason. Why like that? Why not like that? Then compare duality, all the views, the opinion, all coming. Whereas Dhamma investigation is to investigate into the truth, the reality, the universal characteristic, the teaching. Then understanding. So today I add in this part so that it become clearer. So can follow?
Yeah, Sadhu Brother. Brother, 我最近我听你的 Dharma 完全不一样了。
Yeah.
可以，我可以 understand. 我也不知道为什么。 以前每次听还是听，不，这现在我听了以后，我可以知道，然后也知道要怎样的去 cultivate 了。
以前呢，the full picture is not clear to you. 你以为你懂了 ，but actually the actual understanding is very deep, very deep. You have to go through it. 别现在你有那个 condition to understand， 你别 you have gone through so many years of all this because you are sincere, you diligent, then you really want to understand. So when you are able to listen attentively, reflect and contemplate, all this understanding will survey. That's why it takes time.Before you all reach that stage, I cannot explain that aspect of the cultivation. Now you start to understand it.
对对对。
I say, without condition, I cannot explain all those. My nature have realized all this. But unless people are ready and have reached that stage of cultivation, I cannot share. There's no point. When I share, you cannot grasp, you cannot understand.So, all about cultivation is to realize that true mind, that true nature, the stability of it that has the ability to insight and awaken. So, this teaching comes from that silent mind. So, you have to go through that process to develop that understanding. So, what you are going through is like a lot of Dhamma friends now,you all have reached various stages of progress. So when you reach that stage of progress, you understand deeper. Then you can grasp what I share deeper. Then because of condition, I will go further with certain explanation that last time I didn't go into so much detail where I know people are not ready. So no point unless it's for the non-human.But now, because you have the condition and the Dhamma is such, it wants to manifest. That's why all the question, the sharing, the discussion become very beautiful. That's also the reason why now I tend to allow more and more time for Q&A, for meditation reporting, for sharing. But this is where the cultivation is. Sadhu to you, huh? Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, Maritio, 谢谢你。你今天的这个刚才你所 share 的全部都很 practical. Yeah, yeah. 就是一个很对对对Maritio, 我想 share 一个就是我今天早上的一个 meditation 的一个 experience. 我今天早上很早啊，4:30就起来 meditate. 突然间它有一个 moment, 那个我的这个呼吸跟那个方向不见掉，然后我可以 aware 到里面有一个东西，它是自己的在那边这样子讲啊，很像没有呼吸了，也没有这个 form， 但它有另外一个东西在那边自己的，意思又在那边的在 moving 在跳动这样子，这样讲啊。只是一个 meditation
的，你的心跳你 perceive 得到吗？ aware 得到吗？
它是一个我们很像这样子 shift 过去，呼吸跟那个mind body mind， 但是有另外一个东西在那边好像在跳动这样子。
那个就是你的 habit 啦，是不是你的 habit？
又很像不是，它一个 moment 这样子，很像哦。这样子，哎呀，爸，不用紧了，那个，那，你要吗？
No, what is important is when your 呼吸啊 your breathing become like no more, means you reach the sati refinement, means your mind is going to enter sati. So during that time, don't do anything. Just silent everything, like you are dead.Like you are dead means no more breathing, so no more breathing. Means you are not able to be aware of anything. When you are not able to be aware of anything, that is your true nature. That is your awareness nature. Your awareness is only aware, no word. But when you have something, that is Sankara. They say there is another, that one is a Sankara. Otherwise,it will not become a thing. Then that nature got nothing. You cannot describe. But it is stillness. It's just aware. The breathing, everything has become very subtle. That's why I ask you, the breath no more, what happened to the heartbeat? Normally the heartbeat is still there, but if you can be so subtle until the heartbeat also, like Puching went through, the heartbeat also disappear. That is the best. Then your mind will enter sati. Don't be curious. Don't try to know. Just let it be. Then that time you will be very surprised. Your ability to relax is so deep until the whole nature engulf you. This one is a description now, but in actual reality, only the form and mind that went through that can understand. Otherwise, it cannot be understood. So you just let it be. Let the mind enter sati. Then let your nature develop until it becomes the oneness. That's why there are a lot of things still inside all those things. Then when you come out of it, you will start to understand. Then during that time, a lot of things will happen. Maybe later on, if you go through that phase, then you will report. Then I will guide you further. Because that stage is the very fine silent mind. That true mind has entered sati. Means is already aware all the time. You no need to practice, no need to cultivate. But when it enters sati, the mind is always in sati. Then when you come out of it after that, because of the stability, your movement, your activity, your kaya is all very clear in sati. Then everything you do, like the body and mind as one, then every seeing is in sati, every hearing is in sati. Then the specific phenomenal awareness all start to appear. Everything you come to perceive is all in the specific phenomenal awareness. So all this understanding are very important. It's not the fantastic meditation that you can perceive this, you can perceive that, you can go into this. No point, that one all no use. The wisdom and the understanding of that nature is very important. Once you understand what that nature is, then you will start to see things differently through that silent mind. And that silent mind is just aware. That's why specific phenomenal awareness will come out. Then you see them all over. That is the real daily mindfulness. Very stable. Mind in sati. When mind is sati, everything you do is in sati. That is like a perfect human being at that time. But don't expect this state of mind to be there all the time. It will only let you see it during the cultivation. And you really can be in that state throughout the day, even if you want to do it 24 hours. It lets you understand that there is this possibility. Then when you go through this phase, you become very different. But the specific phenomenal awareness become very clear to you, and you can understand it. Then later on, you listen to what I share again about specific phenomena. Your understanding becomes different again. Then the spacious awareness without a center also. When you can do it within life itself, means formal meditation, you will go into the oneness. It's everything finished. But the other one without a center one is when you are aware. You are not in the unconditioned and all, when you are aware. When you are aware, that oneness nature without a center is also very different. And you will experience a lot of other understanding. That's why all this is from that nature, from that silent mind. It's not from the knowledge, the thought, and all those things. So this part, you need to bear in mind. This is to help you further develop the understanding. Because you have reached a point where the breath has become very subtle, like no more breathing. So you don't know what to do from there. Then you are like attracted to that thing that manifests. Forget about it. Because that nature is just aware. It cannot know anything. The moment it knows, it's a sankara. It's a mundane perception really. So just aware, whatever that manifests, aware, then let the mind enter sati, stabilize that, then bring it into the daily life. Okay, can follow?
谢谢 Maritio 呀，所以今天早上这个 experience，我一下子我不懂要怎样的去 handle，过后再说，因为那个，因为他突然间这样 manifest，我一下子那个 thought 也跑出来，就想
That's
那
why
个，
you want to know. That's why 你要问吗？不是说不可以问，可以问 ，but I scared you go back to analysis again, understand? Because it's curious. 什么来的？Then you want to ask for understanding or direction. That's why luckily my nature understand. I never take you to Holland and debate. If I were to tell you, wow, that one are very good, or you go, then debate already. But what is important is to develop that nature, the silent awareness nature. Let the mind enter sati. When the mind enters sati, it's a different phase of cultivation again. That one is way beyond the normal Dhamma cultivation, the normal sati and all those things. Where this one is sati sampajana, reaching its perfection.
Satu beradil ya.还有什么吗？
还有什么？
应该是没有什么。Virtual 那个过后哦，我在 contemplate 那个静雅讲的那个五个的那个麦的
That
时候，
one day, you continue,
我整个可以这样 connect 来 connect 过去，我很像你的那个他讲。它其实哦，它里面有很多的那个 Dharma，但是这个 Dharma 它没有很，它是一个比较 Mahayana 修菩提心的那个大方向，那个大方向。所以他在讲那个菩提心的时候，我忽然间我就讲，我会可能讲哦，要修这个菩提心，一定要有那个出离心跟那个慈悲心，然后。在修这个菩提心的时候，又要有那个四个愿力来 support 它然后在四个愿力里面的第一个愿力，又要有那个慈悲心，来，我全部我就哎，我好像全部跟整个的就一直在 connect 来 connect 过去，来，哦，整个的 picture 就很 understand，然后那个我在想，哦，那个出离心又要有那个智慧，你才能够做到那个出离心。
That's why without wisdom, no real virtue.
对啊，所以说那五个心，我说，哎，突然间我就可以整个的 connect 来 connect 过去了，
Connected.
actually 他们全部是 connected 的
Then like the other day, Tuesday, when I go through the discussion, you remember I share this part. I said the whole of the Mahayana teaching was very well summarized by her. But how to realize those states? Not all. And
对。
now you start to understand, you form the full picture of what I share to realize all this. Otherwise, you can't. 做不到的。
对对，
That's why if I not share with you all the Bodhisattva way, the four basic vow and what that Bodhi mind is, the five stages of transformation of Bodhi mind, then the ten perfection, you cannot link to all these teachings. All this is very beautiful sutta because Mahayana teaching, the sutta is for enlightenment. It is written by the Buddha, spoken by the Buddha, sorry. Of course, some is by Huining, the platform sutta. But most of them are words of Buddha. They are not only enlightened beings, fully enlightened. That's why these are for enlightened beings, their words. But how to realize this, how to understand this, and how to share and teach and develop the cultivation? That part is missing. That is the part that Maitreya want my nature to share. That's why a lot of people don't know what that teaching is. All these are luckily recorded, shared in the website. So this website is going to help a lot of people in the future, those who have progressed and cultivate to certain stages. Then when they listen to this, they will have a shock of their life. How come a lay person can understand all this? Then they can start to relate, connect, and all those things.
Virtual 如果没有你的那个cultivating of the Bodhisattva way，真的是不啊， 你只是听这个静雅的这个 video， 它很像只是那个啊 pointer pointing to the moon 这样子
的
啊，不，你不能够很像了解它里面，它其实它的每一个 point 的里面都是很 deep 的 dharma， 很 deep 的 dharma 在里面。
Very beautifully expressed. Yeah, that's why I say it summarizes the whole cultivation very well. But how to achieve that and realize that is all missing. It's not in the sharing and the teaching.
That's why 我还记得上次不是就我在中国我在中国有问过你那个Bodhisattva 的时候，那个修菩提心，你跟我讲要有 wisdom 才能够修。
Yeah.
但是我就觉得诶，为什么会这样子？我昨天我就从那个video 里面，然后我在record 的时候，我就明白你讲的那个东西了。
Yeah, 菩提心就是 enlightened mind. That's why without wisdom is not a 菩提心啊。那菩提树啊 ，enlightened tree of enlightenment 啊。菩提啊 ，it represent enlightenment. Where the Buddha got enlightened underneath the tree.So the Bodhi tree is the tree of enlightenment. So this word Bodhi is actually enlightenment. So Bodhi Singh is the enlightened mind, the Bodhi mind that give rise to Bodhi. Then this one, if you plant it sincerely with faith, then it will go deep, then it will nurture. Then whenever your form and mind arise, even when youI have to come means you don't have the understanding to how to come, choose to come, then you have to come. So even if you have to come, this vow will help the what they call Bodhi mind to actually nurture you, and that one will surface when you take birth, even if under normal rebirth due to ignorance means.Before the Bodhisattva path or cultivation is established until it is confirmed the Bodhisattva way. Initially, you can still make this vow before you even realize the Arahantship and all those things. But this vow will actually take you along. Then it prepares you. Then later on when you realize Arahantship, you no need to like very strongly make that.Four basic vow all the same, because it's already there, you have taken it earlier on. So when that has been done, the being that come, that have the condition to go the Bodhisattva way, it will know what to do. Then it will just move on. Then the whole Bodhisattva way is established. Yeah. That's why planting of the seed of Bodhi and taking of the Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow is very important. You must start early.Don't go and doubt and allow the thought to like create doubt in you. Ayo, am I ready? Can I do it? 不要开玩笑 like those people. But this is all the thought. This is the mundane thinking. People who don't have the understanding, they're out of fear, they create all this unnecessary lack of logic reasoning. And they create a lot of problem for people, put fear into people.You remember during the first year when we tried to implement the Bodhisattva way, there were a group of devotees, I think some from Penang, they were new, not our batch and class, they have doubt. Then they were so frightened to even take that vow. Then later on, I had to explain, what have you got to lose?It's not asking you to join a cult and a sadhana. The four basic vow of the Bodhisattva is an enhancement of the cultivation. And everything is to develop wholesomeness, virtue, loving kindness, compassion, develop all the perfection. What have you got to lose by taking that vow? What have you got to fear? So all thistake time. When people are not ready, they cannot understand because it's something very new, very alien to them. Then they are so fearful, so conservative. I remember one of them was, I don't know them, but it's a couple. Then I think the wife want to take But the husband threatened her, tell her not to. So this kind of problem arise. Then the wife came and see me. Then I talk. I explain, it's up to you. We are your life. You decide. Otherwise, it create more misunderstanding. I say, don't argue. Because he, maybe he's concerned for her. So we have to develop that understanding. So all this need condition, need understanding. Otherwise, people not ready because of their coming obstruction. They create all this coming obstruction without them knowing it. So if this lie, you create all this, you obstruct people from going such noble way to take the bodhisattva vow. You know, later on in the future, even you have the sasana and the condition to go this way, you will be blocked because of what you do. So have an open mind. Don't try to interfere without understanding. Just like the Buddha told the Kalama, you go and do the inquiry. If I follow, does it harm me? Does it harm other? If it does not harm you and harm other, why worry? Taking bodhisattva away, does it harm you? Does it harm other? No, you're perfecting yourself and developing the love and compassion and developing all the wisdom to have the ability to endure and eliminate or root out all suffering. Then develop the perfection of wisdom. Then cultivation of the 10 perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Such noble bodhisattva vow. What have you got to lose? So this understanding is very important. That's why not until you have the understanding, the faith cannot follow, cannot develop. So all these are very important. Today's sharing is very good. In fact, that video, the Maya video on breaking coming obstruction is also very good. You all should attentively listen and develop the understanding.
Hello, Brother Teo.
Ah, Fuxing, yes. Yeah, Father. Amitabha, yeah.
Amitabha, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo,
yeah,
and
Father.
All Kayamitas. The reason I want to share is because I want to emphasize the importance of what you shared session, the lesson 39. Because the reason I say that is through my own experience, the third way and the fourth way is super, super important.
Yes.
If you don't do this, cannot progress.
Cannot root out.
Cannot,
cannot progress.
Cannot root out. The habitual tendency.
Yes. Yes.
For me, I also have my habitual tendencies.
Yeah.
Okay, one example I can give is like when I see some, I see in the past, like in the past when I see somebody very dirty, very smelly. I have the aversion for you know, your mind.
Correct. Because of your conditioning. You are conditioned to perceive it that way.
Yes, correct.
So
then you stir your mind.
Correct. And that is how it happens. Then you have to silence. Then you realize, hey, it's gone. So which means that one is born of your views, your conditioning.
Yes.
It was never intrinsic. It's not about right and wrong. It's a mind state that become like that, defiled, because you are conditioned into perceiving that these people are dirty. But like I said, when you understand, it's different. They are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things feel like that. Then for cultivator, like the sharing earlier on by the book, this book, they said, when we are a true bodhisattva, we view ourselves as ordinary human being and everybody as a potential Buddha. Understand not?
Yes.
So it's no more about they are very filthy, very dirty, very smelly.
Yes.
No more, because the true cultivator doesn't perceive that way. So this is understanding, seeing things as they are. You accept them for what they are. Their condition like that, they will become like that, and you are nearby. You will have the senses, that's why the fourth way, through your senses, you smell. Then you stir, you react. That is a very good example, both started to you. And through that, you will root it out.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Actually today, not today, yesterday, I met this person again. So I didn't have any reaction.
Yeah, no more already.
Yeah, I just see him and see him.
Ah,
and
you can accept him for
so
what
no
he
staring,
is.
No staring, no nothing.
Yeah,
you know? I just normal,
sadhu.
You know.
Yeah,
oh, sadhu. I feel so happy.
That's
you know?
How your heart
joy,
right,
you know?
Can open up.
Yes,
can open
yes.
up to
I
all conditions, all reality.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you will start to see the beauty in everything. Where everything is just the way they are. Very
yes.
pristine, because condition like that, things will be like that. So there
yes,
is no such thing as the duality. Yeah? Are you, why these people like that? All this sankhara activity come from what?
Yes.
Views, opinion, and conditioning. So when you can
but.
Understand all this, your nature open up, that you can accept and receive everything. Because
yes,
form and mind
yes.
is just form and mind. Nature's mm-hmm. condition like that, things will be like that. See, learn to see things as they are. And this is real Dhamma.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's very good.
Also, sometimes when I see all these people, I have the understanding. So I sometimes like radiate metta to them. So
yeah, you will do that.
I'm happy, you know.
Yes. The metta will arise naturally.
Yes.
Very
so
good.
If you don't stir your mind, in fact, you have metta for them.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So
that virtue.
Very different.
Yeah, that virtue. You develop compassion because they are just the way they are. Due to ignorance,
yeah.
they become like that. So you still
yes.
wish them well-being and happiness.
Yeah. Correct.
Then sometimes
so,
you may add in, may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with them. May
that's very good. I never thought that. Yeah, I just said, you be well and happy. Yeah.
Then
yes.
may the blessing of the Triple
Gem
be
yeah.
with them. Then may
yes,
they
yes,
realize
yes.
the Dhamma so that they can change their life. So that they can
yes,
transform
yes.
for the better. So all this
yes,
will surface.
Thank you,
yeah,
Sadhu. Yes.
Thank you for
yes,
bringing
Sadhu.
Up such a good
yeah.
example. Beautiful. Your
yeah.
example can help a lot of people. Yeah.
Because my
real life experience. Yeah.
In the
Sadhu
midst
to you.
Of life, lah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it makes a difference, lah. You know?
Yes. Big
but
difference.
Yes, gratitude. You see, for what you say is truly, truly important. You must
yeah.
apply what you taught us.
Yes.
If you don't apply what you taught
you
us,
will not
you
gain.
Work, no,
you will
so
not gain any benefit.
You,
yeah,
you
it won't transform you.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. So you must
very
see
true.
And apply it. I mean, even if fail first time, you must
no
be
problem. Persevere
yes,
and
no
just
problem.
Do.
Yes.
Until
yes. So
one day
it
unfold.
It
unfold.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
when you have faith, because your faith is very strong, I realize. You follow almost word by word and try to understand what I say, then you apply it very, very full of faith and very diligently following exactly. That's why you progress very fast. Sadhu to you, Bojang.
Yes,
yeah.
But we shouldn't have any doubt, you know why?
Yeah.
Because when your faith is very strong, automatically your energy will come.
Yeah,
up.
Just like what is mentioned in the book.
Stir you.
Yes.
So you don't have like, so like force yourself. And
no need. The virya will arise.
Yes, yes.
Sadhu,
but of
yes.
course, certain things you have to force yourself, like tendency, you have to change.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You have
yeah.
to like mindfully force yourself, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To make that change, you know.
Correct,
but
correct.
When you have strong faith, then you realize. I mean, this is what I realized, like the,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
the
yeah.
father really push you, give you all the energy.
Yes,
so
it's very
you
useful.
Yeah,
it's very,
very
useful.
Although that we are aging every day, huh?
Ah,
so
yeah,
find the
yeah.
energy from this sadhu, huh?
Yeah, yeah,
keep
yeah.
you on going,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Sadhu. Yeah.
So
very
actually,
good.
Today's lesson, everybody must listen.
Yeah,
times,
it's
so
very, very useful.
Can use it and apply it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
yeah. The
it's very
the process
profound.
Of cultivation is so important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Sadhu.
Thank you very much, Sadhu.
Yeah, thank you. Let us rejoice.
Yeah,
kanan. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.